Are you ready for the new world order? How long do you suppose they have been planning for this? As far as men are concerned, in this age, more than 100 years. But as far as Satan is concerned, I wonder how many times he went to the Lord and said, "Lord, can I start it now?" See, because he can't do anything without God's permission. And I think we're going to see we are a long way down the road toward that. So let's go back to the book of Revelation where we were last time. Now, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, but I want to focus in especially on a couple of verses because these are so important. And we're not going to go back and cover the scriptures concerning the mark of the beast, but we'll refer to them as we get on in the sermon. Now, you look at all that's going on in the Middle East. And everyone is wondering, what's going on in the Middle East? Remember, nothing in politics happens by accident. If they are doing it, it has been planned. Now, they're never going to let you know who's doing the planning, because the truth of the matter is, you've got a hierarchy of evil. That hierarchy of evil is Satan the devil, his principalities and powers under him, then the demons, and men at different levels with this. There are men that Satan uses that worship him directly and know exactly what they are doing. And he rewards them just like he promised to reward Jesus if Jesus would have worshiped him. That is, give them control of the world. So we may not know them by name, but we know they exist, and those are the ones who are the super rich, the super elite of the world that are rewarded for worshiping Satan and carrying out his work. Now, if you don't believe in a conspiracy, then you don't believe in Satan the devil, because he's deceiving the whole world. And wouldn't you say a deception is a conspiracy? Yes, indeed. And if anyone trusts their politicians, maybe you need to have a conversation with God. So what we're seeing happening is what I've mentioned before. Somehow they've got to tame Chaos Stan. Chaos Stan represents all the Muslim countries from the Atlantic Ocean clear back to China. And where is all the chaos in the world today? Not at the North Pole and South Pole. They're right in those countries, correct? Now they're hoping, but we don't know how it's going to work out, so we need to watch and see it. They are hoping that all of these Muslim countries that have been experiencing the uprisings will turn out to be democratic. Otherwise, they're going to have to come back and retame them. Because you can't have a world government unless you can control them. Now, they'll have some means of controlling that will help coerce them to do what they need to do. But there is a new world order coming. Now, here's in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, here is the description of the rising of this new world order. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a question. Which president of the United States was the first one to publicly mention a new world order?
Abraham Lincoln.
Right. H.W. Bush. Now, what level he is in the equation, I don't know. How many have heard of the Council of Foreign Relations? Oh, good, you're all well-educated. There's the equivalent of the Council of Foreign Relations that we have in America. There's the equivalent of it in the different countries overseas under different names. And you see, it's not the State Department of our government that sets foreign policy, nor the State Department of any other country that sets foreign policy, but it is the leaders of the Council of Foreign Relations in whatever country that we're dealing with. What are the major countries that we can see? You saw the leaders of them on television last night. The G7, infamously called the G8. Isn't that interesting? Seven. That's also a number of God, but Satan is a counterfeit, see? Now, this is being devised from Satan on down, but it's made to appear that it is coming from the ground up. And so the Bible explains it this way, verse 1. This is John writing of the vision. And I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads. What is the G7? The seven richest countries of the world together setting the policies that they want to run the world, correct? And to run the finances and banks that they want to run, correct? Yes. Then they had to let in Russia. Well, keep in mind, you can change some of the seven at any time. All right? And 10 horns. Now, these are below the seven. So it comes out as no coincidence that those who want to establish the new world order have divided the world up into 10 regions. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his head, the name of blasphemy. Who do they worship? They reject God, don't they? Who do you worship if you reject God? Satan. Now, isn't it also interesting? Isn't that interesting, too? Have you ever heard of the Bohemian Grove? Yes. Where is Bohemia? It's in Europe. But why do they have a Bohemian Grove in California where the richest people and leaders, presidents, secretaries of state, well, that excludes Hillary. She can't go. This is only for men. Okay. They go out there. And the minimum they pay to get in for this one-week secret excursion is $25,000. That's why you don't go. You better ask your wife for the money.
That ain't my allowance.
That's your allowance. Okay. Got to have a little humor over it. You know, this... Some of this stuff gets pretty heavy when we get into it. So you got to have a little humor as you go along, see, because we know what the outcome is going to be. But it is interesting that now they're beginning to develop these things, not in secret. But anyway, all of these rich and powerful of the world go out there for a week's bash. And one of the things they do, they have a huge big owl that they burn in effigy. And, of course, that's one of the symbols of Satan. So maybe go online and look up Bohemian Grove. See what someone has to say about it. I don't know if you'd find anything on Wikipedia, but Wikipedia may or may not have the facts, all right? Now, what we see in chapter verse 2, is we see that it is a diverse thing, artificially cobbled together. Isn't that what we have trying to get all these nations together? How are they going to agree? Well, you read Revelation 17, it says that God put it in their hearts to agree, to do his will. Now let's say something else. Since it's prophesied to happen, and we see it happening, which we do, it is the will of God, because that is punishment for the sins of mankind in the grand finale leading up to the return of Christ. So don't think by any stretch of the imagination that because some people know about the conspiracy that they're going to get a political movement going to stop it. Won't happen. So here's what the beast looks like. The beast that I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his authority, his throne, and his great power, and the dragon is Satan the devil. Okay? Obviously, this is a strange-looking beast, and is meant to be so, to show the diversity of what they're trying to do. Now, the beast pictures the system, number one, and the person of the Antichrist, number two. And here's how that is worked out. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed. And the whole earth. See, so this is going to be a worldwide thing. Everybody's going to know it. When this event takes place, the whole world's going to see it. And what we can understand from the 70th week of the 70-week prophecy, that there's going to be an agreement made for 7 years, which starts the last 7 years. And that agreement is going to be broken after 3.5 years. And I think that's when the beast receives its deadly wound. He breaks his agreement with the Jews. Now let's stop and think a little bit. Luke tells us in Luke 21 that when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that the desolation is near. Correct? When they make the peace treaty, is that when there's going to be international guarantee by the beast at the beginning of the 7 years to secure the area for Jerusalem and for the Jewish nation and guarantee it by armies of the nations that they bring for the protection? I think that's how it's going to come down. Let me ring my bell. Where's my bell? Here it is. Okay? So I'm giving you my thoughts on it, which may not work out exactly that way, but it seems to fit. Okay? Now, I do not believe that the Jews are going to build the temple until that agreement is made. Now, we know there has to be a temple. Revelation 11, John was told, measure the temple, measure the court. Matthew 24 tells us, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place. The one who reads, let him understand. That's what John put there, because he couldn't understand it. Okay, when he was canonizing the New Testament. So he put that statement in there for us. That ties together with Daniel 12, where Daniel said that in the end, the wicked shall do wickedly and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And they won't understand until God gives the information so we can understand. Because look how many people down through the years have wanted to know what was going on, starting with Daniel. When, Lord? When, Lord? And we just had Harold Camping say, you know, it's going to be on the 21st, but he's already 8 days late. Okay? So I believe at that time, with the guarantee of the armies, the Jews will start to build the temple. And it will be done very quickly. And it won't be where the Mosque of Omar is, but it will be south of there. Because that was the original location of the temple. Right over the spring of Gion. Because I cannot see for the life of me any Arabs, any Muslims, allowing the Jews to even start to build a temple without millions of Muslims come running in, rioting in with every kind of weapon they can get and kill every Jew that they can see and stop the building of the temple. It must be guaranteed by troops around Jerusalem. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, how long it'll take for them to build, we don't know, but we know they already have a lot of the garments and the implements already made, so visit the Temple Institute online and see what they've already done, okay? We already know they have the cornerstone cut, don't we? Because the Jews tried to get that and run up on the area of the Mosque of Omar and get that cornerstone there, and what happened? Oh, there were riots and shootings and everything like this, and even the Jewish leaders and officials had to say, no, don't do it. You're going to get us all killed. Now, remember, if you saw the interview, not the interview, but the lecture of Netanyahu to our infamous... Well, you know who I'm talking about. Okay. You see, which was very interesting indeed. And I think the thing that struck me most of all was this. He said, that area of the boundaries of 1967, he had to tell him, don't you know that that's only 6 miles wide? And the ones they have now are only 12 miles wide. Why, I drive that almost every Sabbath when I go up to Fairfield because it's 12 miles from Hollister to Gilroy. Takes me, starting and stopping, about 20 minutes to get there. That's all that right there in the area of Jerusalem, that's as wide as the nation of Israel over there, see? So it's not going to be a walk in the park to build the temple. But they will get it built. Because prophecies say that there will be a temple. And they will start animal sacrifices. Now, remember this is in the first 3.5 years. So they must finish the temple maybe what? Year and a half? 2 years? If they have a lot of things already prefabricated and ready to go. Okay? So that means that there will be, out of the 3.5 years, there will be 2 years where they offer animal sacrifices. And we know they must offer animal sacrifices. And it says in the book of Daniel that those sacrifices are what? The daily sacrifice, meaning morning and evening sacrifice, correct? So this shows they're going to have to be going for some period of time. Then the beast breaks that covenant. And I think that the Jewish Mossad sends out an assassination committee to assassinate him, but they only wound him. Remember how Hitler was protected? Okay. His deadly wound was healed. Now remember, he's got the false prophet here. See, now what I'm talking about, you have to have all these scriptures in your head. You have to have already studied these things to know. This sermon will make no sense to someone who has not studied these things. Okay? He's got the false prophet with him, right? So here comes the false prophet. And he prays over the beast and he's healed. And comes back to life. And there's a great celebration. The Jews are beginning to be punished now for having such a terrible thing. But remember, just shortly before that happens, what else happens? Two witnesses in Jerusalem. Now the stage is set. Who is God? What government do you follow? What religion do you believe? Okay. Now notice why we have all of the occult, why all of the movies are the way that they are, because all of those things are designed to program the society and to program the youth. So all you young people out there, you better think, do you want to waste your mind on satanic movies of death and destruction and movies like Avatar, which is a precursor of how the New World Order is coming? And all young people better stop and think. I'm not just talking to those who are here, because this message is going to go out. You need to stop and think, what are you going to do with your life? And if you do not turn yourself to God, you're going to end up worshiping Satan the devil. And you are going to betray your parents, and you are going to betray your friends, and you are going to get caught up in all of this satanic emotionalism because the beast is revived. Wonderful! Our government, everything is ready to go, and our religion. See? Young people today are living in the most dangerous times that have been in the history of the world. And they're taught to be rebellious, and they're taught to go against their parents. And most of them, when they get to college, all of those who thought that they were nonconformist, they found that it takes an average of 7 days for them to fall in line to the extreme liberalism, and this they tested at the University of West Virginia. So don't think that you know everything, and don't think that you can tell your parents to go fly a kite or go to hell, and you're going to go out there and live your life, and you're going to be successful in it, because Satan, the devil, is going to take you down and bring you into his system. So just like all of us as adults, we've got to choose. You've got to choose, okay? Because it says, the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now that means everyone on the earth, because all of this is going to be on television. Look, when anything happens today, bang, you don't even have to have a television. Just have a smartphone. You pick it up. Ooh, look at that. Fukushima blew up. There was an earthquake there. You get the news right in your pocket. Okay? And they worship the dragon. That's what you do with all the music that you go out to. Why do they have Friday night concerts? Why do they have rock concerts? Why do they have the strobe light going? They have all of that to hypnotize you and blast the music through every cell of your being so that you come into allegiance with Satan the devil. Well, that's the way it is. We're living in dangerous times. They worship the dragon who gave his authority to the beast, and Satan says, aha, I finally got it. I'm finally God. And he possesses the beast. Where does the beast go? After they have to come down, the king of the north has to come down and straighten out the area of Egypt and goes into the Holy Land. And now, what happens? He goes in there to the temple of God and says, I am God. Now, why do people accept that? because they don't love the truth. And when you don't love the truth, that's for everybody at every age, all right? If you don't love the truth, God is going to give you over to this great deception of the new world order. So everybody's going to have to choose. How far down the road it is, I don't know, but we'll tell you a couple things here in just a bit. And they worshiped the dragon who gave him gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, and they worshiped the image of the beast, you see. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? We've never had anyone like this. Look, he even survived death. He's resurrected. God manifested in the flesh. We've never had anything like this." Who are the enemies? Who are those that are against this? Who are those that will resist this? Eh? That's when the martyrdom starts. Eh? Now picture this that we covered this morning. Somewhere, probably just after this event takes place, we have what? The message of the three angels telling the whole world what's going to happen. See, the return of Christ is not going to be a secret little thing like a rapture, and all of us self-righteous nuts are going to be lifted up into the air, you know, and we'll hold hands with Harold Camping on the way up. Won't work that way. All right, so the choice is, you're going to worship God, you're going to worship the devil. And they said, "Who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him?" See, because they're going to control the currency. Remember the two sermons I gave on Aftermath 1 and Aftermath 2? Collapse of the dollar? See, they're going to collapse it when they're ready. They're not ready yet. They still have too many things to do, and there are too many disagreements to collapse it, but they're going to collapse it. And this book tells you they're going to. I'll read some quotes. Okay? Now, I may go a little overtime. Think you can handle that? Okay? Okay. "Now he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven." Ties right in with 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, right? Yes, indeed. "And he opened," yes, and notice, "and he was given power to make war against the saints." That's when the martyrdom comes. And some people are so squeamish, they say, "Oh, why would God want that?" All right, let me ask you a question. Have others died for Christ? Yes, indeed. Did Christ die for you? You willing to accept his sacrifice and shed blood? Were you baptized into his death? Yes, you were. Then we have to be willing to die for Christ. See? We're getting to the point, we've got to start making up our minds that that is true, that we love God with all our hearts, mind, and soul, and being, so if that event comes around, which it will, that we are going to be fully prepared, and that when we're hauled up before people, we are going to be able to give them a witness inspired by the Holy Spirit so that the Father is speaking through us to them and to overcome them. Now notice, rest of verse 7. "And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation." That is a world government. "And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Better heed. All right? Do they know these things? But of course. They've been planning them. They really don't want you to know. Okay? So this book is written by Damon Vickers. How many here have watched Glenn Beck? Okay, good. Who do you suppose got him fired? George Soros. Not directly, of course. He never does anything directly. Okay? All right. Like I said, he gave good warnings concerning the events that are going to happen. Now, I'm going to read here, quotes, page 69. Okay? There we go. Page 69. Over the past 30 years, the U.S. dollar has lost 97% of its value. Put it in a bank, it's going, either through devaluation or through confiscation or through the crash of the dollar. It says, there are only a few countries who know how to run their economies. However, Greece, Spain, Italy, France, Ireland, Britain, Portugal, United States of America are all in trouble. Now notice what he says here in an analysis of the government. Neither communism, capitalism, democracy, liberalism, nor any hybrid of these systems work. None of these fantasies are functional, and they must be discarded. We need a new form of government that moves past what is no longer working. That's something, isn't it, huh? Think of that. Do they know what they're doing? Boy, you better believe they know what they're doing. All right. Now, who is this Vickers? Let me tell you about him. He is a Northeastern, highly educated elite. All right, let's go on. Page 114, okay? There are a lot of other things there. Okay, 114, okay? What will happen the day the dollar crashes? Because it's going to crash. They may hold it up for a while, but there's going to be a day when it's determined it's going to crash. Now, this book tells you what's going to happen to the stock market, how they will react, what the Federal Reserve is going to do, what the IMF is going to do, etc., etc., etc. Okay? And he ought to know. He understands all of them, right? And he's part of the system. His message is to prepare us to survive after the dollar crashes. Well, you see, when the dollar crashes, there is going to be another tomorrow. But that another tomorrow is not going to be like anything we have today. So when it crashes, what are we to expect? All right, I'll just read you the headlines here. Expect shock, horror, denial, disbelief, and panic. Expect people to follow the money, trying to save something because the stock market is going down. See? And that's why the people who own and hold themselves, not in a bank vault or not in a safety deposit vault, gold and silver, they will be able to survive afterwards. When the tribulation starts, that's when they throw their gold and silver out because nothing can save them then. But gold and silver will help those who have it to be reestablished at that time. Expect quick deflation of the dollar and inflation of prices. Now, I've got in my pocket here, someone sent it to me, so let me get it. This was really something. I forget who sent it to me, but anyway, let me get my little coin purse here, all right? And this was the largest donation we ever received, if it had value. This is, and I'll pronounce it in German, Reichsbanknote, 100,000 Mark, 1932, in Germany. What happened to them? They collapsed the mark, didn't they? What happened right after that? They had a savior, didn't they? And what was his name? Adolf Hitler. And what did they do? They brought in a new mark, didn't they? A new currency system. We are likely to see food lines and food riots. So if you don't have some food stored away, okay. We expect social norms to quickly deteriorate. People dependent on entitlements will get desperate. What have we done? 47% of the people in America now receive government aid, right? They are the lazy ones that Roger was talking about in his sermon. We may see a short-term police state. Oh, really, short-term? We will, now this one here is really something, okay? Notice what he thinks of Christianity and religion. We may see a rise in doomsday prophets and scams. When a population is scared and vulnerable, we see opportunists ready to exploit them. Expect to see get-rich schemes, offshore investment, Ponzi schemes, extreme fringe and political groups, doomsday's herald, false prophets, warning, the rapture is imminent and you can be saved for only $9.99. All right. Chapter 7, Shaping the New World Government Order. Right in print. Haven't seen any riots against the book. Okay. I believe we are nearing the threshold in several countries. That's why I believe we will see the necessity of forming a central government called CG that can operate in the New World Order, and that's after the crash of the dollar. Because if the dollar crashes, what happens? All currencies crash. That is their plan. And they control all the purse strings, and the only one who can end it is Jesus Christ returning from heaven. No movement of men, nor organization of governments. When they pull the cord on the dollar, all currencies go down and everybody suffers. Everybody is going to demand, we need a new government, we need a new currency. And guess what they're going to say? We have prepared for this time and we are ready to serve you. Yes. We need to limit the growth of governments. The New World Order, the central government, CG, will need to have the power to regulate the size and growth of the government in individual countries. Beast over what? Over every nation and language and tongue, right? They will take decisive action and join together to hammer out a constitution for a central government that can oversee the interest of the planet and all life on it. There will be for a short time individual nationalism versus global citizen. What did Barack Hussein, insane Obama, oh, excuse me, slip of the tongue, Hussein Obama say in Berlin? He didn't say like John F. Kennedy, ich bin ein Berliner. He said, I am a citizen of the world. Okay, maintaining national identities within global citizenship. The central government should protect cultural identities, so they will try and do that. All right? Establishing sustainable and equitable resource management. The central government should have the responsibility and power to place the protection and preservation of our global resources above the interests of any single entity. They will seize all resources, all industries. We can expect a new form of exchange. I'm talking about a single shared currency, no exchange rates, a global unification exchange system. It could be something completely different. Then he tries to explain a couple of things there with that. The CG, or the central government, might set and maintain policies that govern banking, investment, credit services to ensure proper risk management, cash reserve ratios, and full disclosure related to all kinds of trading and investment. What do you think that the G20 is about? You heard of the G20? How many have heard of the G20? What is that? That's all the banks, the central banks in the world who control all the money in the world, coordinating all the regulations of all the banks so that they are all the same. What do you think they're preparing for? To have an international game of tiddlywinks on the international dateline? Of course not. Now, I want you to all listen to what he writes concerning where will our new leaders come from. He writes, the central government should represent the interest of all people and all life on earth. Now, that's quite a statement. So he's really a new ager as well as a new world order. Now, I'm going to read somewhat of an extended quote, but I want you to listen how they are thinking, because this is the same kind of thinking that Oprah Winfrey has, of everyone has deep inherent love, and everyone just needs to tap into that love. And if we all just get on the same wavelength, everything will be fine. The world will be happy, 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 and we will save ourselves. So here's what he says. The central government should represent the interest of all the people and all life on earth. We will need good, fair-minded leaders who place the interest of the many above the interest of the few. Has that ever happened? These people may be elected or volunteer. There might be qualifications they must meet. Their tenure might be months, years, decades, or life. What does that mean? What if someone is a tyrant and gets in there for life? I don't know how all that will look, but one thing I do know, they will be accountable for all their decisions to the people of the planet, and they will be rewarded based on their results, not on expectations. Now listen to this. I want you to see how close this comes. It's the exact opposite side of the coin of what the Bible describes as the coming world leader. Notice what he says. I believe we will see at least one individual come forward to lead this group. That is the group of the central government. I think we will see a charismatic, single global figure who will lead the world. It's exactly what the Bible says. That person will be willing to stand up and step forward. That person lives today. I wonder if he's saying that because it's speculation, or does he know? Continuing now. Now, what I just said is a little scary. It brings up things like Antichrist. But I know that people relate better to people than they do to causes. The probability is that someone is going to need to emerge and step forward and say, I will lead. The challenges are great, but here are the solutions. I am willing to lead. If such a person comes forward and looks like this at first, that is, and makes an agreement with the Jews and the Arabs and allows them to rebuild the temple, then that is the beginning of the 70th week prophecy. Now, let me continue here and see what he says. It won't be easy for someone to accept this challenge. Many people would think that it is all about the person's ego or power trip, but that won't be the case. This person must come from a position of conscious, unconditional love. I want to read that again. Because while they are looking forward for a human being to do this, he's actually describing what Christ has already done. But he's going to come from heaven, not step forward out of a group of men. quote, I'll read it again. This person must come from a position of conscious, unconditional love as others before them. Pray tell, other than Jesus, who's done that? May we be kinder this time. Most people don't come from this conscious level, so it will be difficult for them to understand that motive. But love is the only motive that will work. He's correct. See how they sprinkle in true statements to push forward their cause, which everyone can agree with, because he's not saying that this person is coming forth with great evil and is a worshiper of Satan the devil, and in fact will be possessed by him. No, he wouldn't dare do that. We've already seen world leaders who are driven by greed and need for personal recognition and power, and we've seen the pain and destruction caused by these motivations. Well, that is certainly true. But look what the world did to Jesus. Now, let me read what the Bible says about this man. Let's come back here to Revelation 13 again, and let's read something. Now, let's read this again, because after the deadly wound is healed, the world, verse 4, they worship the dragon. So you see, it is a complete satanic event, who gave his authority to the beast, and that's the world government plus the manifestation of it through the single world leader. And they worship the beast. Remember, they made an image to him because he came back from the dead, and now we have a hero, and now we have a Christ. Now we have someone with unconditional love. Really? And they worship the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue for 42 months. That is, after the deadly wound is healed. And 42 months is what? One half of 7 years. Hello? Again, that's the second half of the 70th week of the 70-week prophecy. Now notice how loving he is. Notice how kind he is. Notice how wonderful he is, worthy of our worship. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. Now notice how much he loves Jesus and the saints. I'm being very cynical and facetious with that statement. And he was given power to make war against the saints and to overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. A new world order, world government. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, that's worth repeating so we understand. The Bible is saying this, and this is true. And men are writing of it because they are expecting it. And those like this author are probably in a level high enough, what? To know some of the things that are going on in preparation for this. Now remember, as I showed in Aftermath, when the dollar collapses, and Damon Vickers wrote the book The Day After the Dollar Collapses, isn't it interesting that they are preparing for this, even talking about it? But if anyone comes out against him and says he's an antichrist, kill him. Get rid of him. He's speaking against our wonderful, loving leader. What it's going to be. Let's see how Paul described this one. Let's see how much love that he really has. Come to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, how many times have we been there in preparation for the end time events and reading what is going to happen, huh? How many times have we been there? 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, let's read this again. And let's see that he's not coming from a position of unconditional love. He is, well, let's put it this way. In one sense, he is coming from a position of unconditional love of Satan the devil, not of God, not of mankind. Remember, it's going to be so deceptive, the whole world is going to fall for. The whole world is going to worship the beast. It is going to be a tremendous and fantastic thing when this happens. So Paul writes this because there were those coming to the Thessalonians and saying, the return of Christ is soon, the return of Christ is soon. Now let's see what Paul wrote so we understand it. And we also see that it uses the same verbiage that the New Agers use. Their Christ, they talk about the presence of Christ, or Christ is present already here. Verse 1, 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken in mind, nor be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us, saying that the day of Christ is present. Now think about that. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means. And brethren, I want to mention and just add here, we need to really understand, this deception is going to be overwhelming. It is going to be compelling. And it's going to sweep all people in the world into it, all of worldly Christianity and Catholicism and Orthodox and all the religions, and even the Jews are going to fall for it because, as I mentioned earlier, that there are going to be armies in place to ensure peace so the Jews can build their temple. Let's read on. So again, he quotes it. Do not let anybody deceive you by any means, because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. Now, the apostasy means that all of the people of the earth except the true Christians have apostatized from God totally. And as the book of Revelation shows, they worship the beast and they worship Satan. That is the apostasy shall come first, and the man of sin shall be revealed. Not a man of sin, but the man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition, because he's going to be cast into the lake of fire along with the false prophet. Now notice what he does. Notice how humble, notice how loving, notice how kind, notice how concerned he is with people. Verse 4, the one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God, which the Jews will build, and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. And of course, the false prophet who does miracles in the sight of the beast is going to proclaim him as the manifestation of God in the flesh. And the world's going to fall for it. Now, why will they fall for it? We'll see here in just a little bit. So Paul said, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. You see? There is a time when that is going to be. And God, through Christ, has set the time, so it's not coming until the time it's supposed to come. And it's at the end of the age, you see. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working, beginning in Paul's time. There were false prophets. There were those who were elders in the church that Paul said would rise up and lead people astray. Now the mystery of lawlessness is in full bloom and going to produce another crop of very deceptive flowers that look good and smell good. Oh, and it's so wonderful. Oh, isn't it nice? All humanity loves each other now. Oh, what a wonderful thing that this is. Don't be fooled, brethren. He's restraining, holding him back, restraining him at the present time until it arises out of the midst. That is, out of the midst of this system of Babylon the Great, which consists of religion and business and economics and government. Then the lawless one will be revealed. Now, we're going to have to say that is the emissary of Satan the devil. He's not from God. Now, notice what's going to happen to him, and there's only one figure that this is going to happen to, and we read of that in Revelation 19, where the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. So listen. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. So Christ is going to take care of it. Now notice where he gets his power and how this ties right in with Revelation 13. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. Now let's just stop here and also ask ourselves a question, okay? Do you really love God? Do you really love the truth? And I want to ask all those out there in Church of God land who want to have different doctrines and teachings that are in the Bible, who want to have different calendars, who want to rule over the brethren with great authority, do you really, really love God? Or are you trying to put in your own ways, your own means, your own methods, and thereby you are not even realizing that you are doing the works of Cain and you are walking in the way of Cain when you do that? And that you are following Satan the devil. Consider. Think about it. Because the dividing line is coming, as I said. See, they didn't receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. For this cause, God does not do anything without cause. God will send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie, so that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but who took pleasure in unrighteousness. So that's what's coming. Now, these men are deluded by Satan the devil at the level that these people are writing and this information is coming. They have been planning this for a long, long time. But as we have read, it's being held back until it is in God's time that it will happen. So this is tremendous. We need to realize that. Now that we've seen the difference between how the elite view their coming world leader and how they describe him, as compared to how the Bible describes him. Now let's go back and look how and listen how the mark of the beast is going to work, and it's going to be absolutely stunning. It is very possible with a new global debt credit system that many of the current abuses will simply cease to be opportunities. The central governing body could coordinate emergency responses. Okay? How far along are they with the mark of the beast and the new world currency? And I remember, what was it, about 6 years ago, somewhere around there, I gave the sermon entitled, "The Mark of the Beast is Here, the Digital Angel." And boy, some people got really excited, and we found out that, well, no, that doesn't work too good. So they're working on something else. They're working it from two ways, okay? In Salt Lake City, starting this year, They are going to convert the whole city's entire business and transactional system to what they call wave technology. Have you heard of that? Okay. Wave technology is where you can have everything in your smartphone and you just wave it within 4 feet of the register or whatever machine it is that reads it, and the transaction is taken care of instantly. They're going to have it on buses, on planes, grocery stores, pharmacies, department stores, banks, and the whole thing. Now, I'll tell you one thing. If you lose your smartphone with your whole life on it, what do you think is going to be the most coveted thing in the world that thieves will want? They will want your smartphone or your smart card. How many here recently got a new credit card? Okay. I've had Chase Bank send me about every other month. Oh, get this great card. Someone showed it to me. It's got the Wave technology chip on the back side of it. Already.
I didn't realize that.
Bad girl. No, that's the way it's going to be. Because, see, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is this. I've got some credit cards, and most of them now are going to be outdated in 2014. So when it comes time, they're going to send us a new card. Guess what? They're not going to ask us. They're just going to send it. Right? See, this thing is sewed up lock, stock, and barrel and ready to go. Now, when it comes down to the mark of the beast, I think it will be introduced as voluntary. What a wonderful thing this will be. We have a brand new system. No more injection in the arm of digital angel. We're going to do it so you can't even see it. Won't that be lovely? And they're working on invisible tattoos. They're already using them on cattle ears, and the hair makes no difference. No more tags hanging on cattle going to market. Their ears are going to be tattooed with a number. And when they go through the chute, it's going to go boop. You know where that cattle came from, who owned it, who sold it, where it's going. They also are doing it on experimental rats by tattooing the tail. Okay? You can't see it. Okay, the only thing they haven't figured out yet is how they can make it GPS tracking. That's the last thing. They'll perfect this, and they will come and say, this is the most wonderful thing that has ever been. Solve all of our economic problems. Solve all the medical problems. No more thievery. No more stolen smartphones, and everyone who is a good citizen of the world should want to be a good citizen of the world. We're going to open up in every city, we're going to open up in every hospital a tattooing department so you can all go there and get your official invisible tattoo. See? That's what's going to happen. Now, what's that going to do for us? Because you see, without that, you cannot buy and you cannot sell. And they are going to accuse us of, you hate your family. You hate your children. Doesn't God expect you to feed your children? Doesn't God expect you to take care of them, you see? But what they're not telling you is once you get that mark of the beast and that invisible tattoo, you belong lock, stock, and barrel controlled by Satan, the devil, and this whole satanic world government that is coming. The elite are planning it. It is going to come. And that's why God is doing the most ridiculous thing in the world in the eyes of the world, which is this: to call the weak, to call the sick, to call those who need their lives repaired, to call those who want to love God. And we, brethren, are then going to take over the world at the resurrection and when we return with Christ to the earth. And remember what I read this morning, that those of the synagogue of Satan, and those are the super elite, what are they going to do? They're going to come and worship before our feet. All the little people that they hated and despised, and especially those strange ones that were so stupid as to keep the Sabbath and holy days and believe in the return of Jesus Christ. Bunch of nothing but a bunch of idiots is the way they're going to look at it. And once we're resurrected and come back to the earth, we're going to say, hello? Remember us? Now, God is going to be merciful. You repent. If you don't, we've got a nice volcanic lake over here you might like to swim in. Okay? So that's the best I can give in the way of how it appears that it's going to come. But it is going to come for sure. And that's why we've been saying for years, you better be ready. You better be ready. You better be ready. See? Because when it does come, if we are not ready with Christ, and if we are not strong in the faith, and if we have not, as Roger mentioned there with the diligence, been diligent to build the spiritual character of God through His Spirit, and I'm sure we all will, because God is going to give us His strength. God is going to give us His Spirit. God is going to protect us with His angels. And we can claim the promise of Psalm 91 every day if we need to. 1,000 fall at your right hand and or left hand and 10,000 at your right hand. But it won't come near you. That's why we covered things at the conference, how to take care of your health. Because they're going to let everybody die. They don't want to take care of anybody. Especially us old fogies. Okay? So that's where we are, brethren. Well, I've covered all I can. I've gone over time, so I better shut up before they come in here and with the, start wheeling us out of here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.